If you have Bibles with you this morning, I'm going to ask you to open the book of Isaiah. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 55. This is sort of my text for the morning. Isaiah 55. And verse 10 says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven," we're talking about what? Forms of precipitation. The Bible is likened unto what? Rain and water. Amen? "For as the rain comes down and snow from heaven and does not return there, but waters the earth." That's a key word this morning. "But waters the earth." How many know that rain and snow waters the earth? "And makes it bring forth and bud." How many know that water makes life? It makes stuff bring forth and bud. Amen? "That it may give" what? "Seed to the sower and bread to the eater." Verse 11. "So shall my word be just like that rain that brings forth," just like that water, that snow, "that brings forth and causes life," or budding, "that gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It too shall not return to me," how? "Void." That word in the Hebrew means pretty much what it means in the English: empty. God's word is not empty. It will not return to God void. It will not return to God empty. Every time the word of God is preached, if it's the word of God, it should get a return. Someone say amen. Amen. It should get a return. Your response is the return. If it's the word of God, it's supposed to get a response. If it's the word of God, there's supposed to be a return on the word of God preached. It's never about the messenger. It's always about the message. Amen. And I'm looking this morning among you, God's people, for a return on this word. Because the word of God promises me that I can. If you will respond by faith to this word, there will be a return. Someone say amen. Amen. "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void or empty, but it shall accomplish." It shall accomplish that I please. "And it shall prosper in the very thing or subject or theme or point for which I sent it." This morning I have a boldness, a flat out confidence in the word of God. It's not about me. It's about him and his word. And I am believing with everything that is in me that there is going to be a return, a response to this message that, listen, will forever change your perspective of Christianity. Wow, what a statement to make. But I believe that what I'm going to preach is the absolute foundation for the Christian experience. And some of you have never grabbed a hold of it. Someone say, I'm ready. I believe with all my heart that I have a word literally for everyone in the church. This morning, I was ministering in a city named Middleborough, Massachusetts, in New England, down in the States. And it was a Sunday morning, much like this Sunday morning. And I had my notes, and I was going to preach if they let me. And God began to speak to me and said, "I want you on your knees, and I want you on your face." I said, "Okay." And so I dropped to my knees and got down on my face, so to speak, and I'm just in the presence of God. I wasn't ready to be introduced to speak yet, so there was a little bit of time. So I just obeyed the Lord. The Lord was there. His presence was there. And often as it is, I'm sure, with you, you find yourself on your face before God. If you don't find yourself on your face before God often, you ought to try it. And so I'm on my face before God, and he speaks to me. And he says, "You know, if you will preach the message that I want you to preach, every person in the church will be touched." Now, if I had said that to me I probably would have had my doubts. Come on, Denny. But God said that to me. He said, if I would change my message, I will reach virtually everyone in the church that morning. It was a pretty good crowd, several hundred people. So because it came from him, I chose to believe him. And so I said, okay, I'm not a great extemporaneous speaker by any stretch of the imagination. I can prophesy extemporaneously, but preaching's a different story. What do you want me to minister on? And so the Lord said, I want you to preach on the love of God. I went, okay. Considering I had never done it before, that was a pretty big okay. And so I want to minister this morning to you on the love of God. I believe as God spoke to me in Middleborough, Massachusetts, because of the fruit of that message and because of the fruit of that message that I saw in other churches that I preached it in, I believe this is a fresh word. I believe this is a word from God. I believe as I did in Middleborough, Mass for the first time and now here with you in Regina for the third or fourth time I've preached it, I believe that this message has the potential to change your Christian experience forever. I'm not saying that to hype up me or to hype up the message. It's either going to be God or it isn't. It's either going to touch you or it isn't. It's either going to revolutionize your perspective and perception of God or it isn't. That's how strongly I believe in what God has given me to preach this morning. I believe that this message this morning is the answer to your problem. Well, you don't know my problem. You're right, I don't. And I still believe this message is the answer to your problem. I believe that this message, since God's word will not return void, I believe that this message this morning will deliver you from the following things. I believe that often you battle with unbelief. I do. I believe this message is the answer to your unbelief. You wonder why God isn't moving in your life. God can't move in your life. Well, why not? He's God. He requires you to be in faith. So I believe that the love of God will remove unbelief from your life. As you embrace His love for you, unbelief will be removed. I just believe that. So if your struggle this morning is chronic unbelief, this message is for you. It will release you from, deliver you from unbelief. I believe that. If your problem is fear, I believe that many believers are paralyzed by fear in its many forms. If fear is an enemy in your life, I believe this morning, the result of this message from God's word, fear wants to be driven from your life. You have unbelief problems because you don't know the love of God. It's as simple as that. You have fear problems because you don't know the love of God. Listen, church, God loves us. Good. He loves us. You're saying, now, wait a minute, I know the love of God. No, you don't. If you did, you wouldn't be struggling with unbelief. You wouldn't be struggling with fear. Some of you even have literally unscriptural concepts of God. God is love. More than anything else, He's love. Yes, He is light. Yes, He is a consuming fire. Yes, He is a spirit. Those are the four God is in the Bible. God is a consuming fire. He is. God is light. Yes, He is. God is a spirit. Yes, He is. But He is also love. God is love. And He doesn't kind of, sort of love you. He really loves you. And I'm convinced one of Satan's primary strategies is to keep you separated from the love of God. He doesn't mind what else you do. He'll let you pretty much do everything else, but he wants to separate you from the love of God. That's why Paul devoted some of his best writings to the subject of the love of God. He even declared to the church at Rome, "Let me tell you how important the love of God is. Everything is going to try to get between you and it." Didn't he say that? So he made a list of what cannot get between you and it. And he tried to cover his bases so carefully that after he listed everything he could think of, he basically said, as a matter of fact, there's nothing that can get between you and the love of God. Height, depth. He didn't know what else to say, so he tried to cover everything he could think of. Nothing. Nothing can get between us and the love of God unless we let it. The love of God wants to drive unbelief from your life. I've been trying to have faith, Denny. You can't have faith in a God or something from a God that you don't know loves you. You cannot battle fear and conquer it permanently unless you can call upon a God that you know loves you. Unscriptural concepts of God. You will live your entire life really not knowing who the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is unless you know his love. I want to say it again. He loves you. I know he loves me. I know who doesn't love me, and so do you. And I know who loves me. God loves you. And so we're going to deal with some unscriptural concepts of God this morning. Can I be real honest with you? I don't know how people get saved without knowing the love of God. They'll probably even tell you they are. Maybe they are. I don't understand this. But how does one get saved? Truly converted. Ah, that's a good word. Truly converted. And not know that God loves them. God's not waiting to hit you side of the head. He's not just hoping you're going to trip up so he can put you in hell where you belong. Not at all. You have been apprehended. The love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. But because we do not know his love, I mean know that we know that we know that we know, we have unscriptural concepts of God. And most dramatically, when we don't know the love of God, some of us even struggle with demonic influences. Hear me, when there is no embracing and acknowledging an experience with the love of God, something else and someone else will fill that void. I am absolutely convinced most of our demonic problems are the result of not embracing God's love. I believe that the church would be self-delivered in a fraction of time if individually we would really understand the love of God. Someone say amen. The Lord gave me a list of things that he would break free from anyone that would respond to this message. And again, it's not the messenger, it's the message. Listen carefully. If you can identify any of these things in your life, I believe the love of God this morning will set you free. You hear that expression a lot. I don't believe that you ever stop being set free. And so this morning you say, I'm really free. Good. You're going to get really, really free this morning because everyone will identify with this list. These are words, some in the scriptures, some that we've kind of adopted today that help us to understand a lack of liberty or a lack of freedom in our lives. I want to say this to you. I believe that Christians are to be the freest people on the face of the earth. I don't believe it's supposed to be the Muslims. I don't believe it's supposed to be the Hindus. Come on. I believe it's supposed to be the Christians. I believe we're supposed to be free. But I believe the love of God this morning wants to set you free from blockages. Oh, a blockage. A blockage to me is anything that gets in the way of something moving and flowing freely. Your drain lines can be blocked. Your arteries can be blocked. Blockages shut down the free flow of something. I believe that some of you have blockages this morning. Blockages in your relationship to God. And when you don't know that God loves you, you're going to be blocked up. This morning, the Lord in your life, I don't care if you've been saved 40 years, is going to break some blockages off of you. How many want to flow? How many want to be free? How many want to feel? Oh, wait a minute. We don't have a right to say that, do we? Yeah. How many want to feel the love of God? I don't know how to tell you this, but I feel that my wife loves me. I feel that my children love me. I feel that my friends love me. I feel that my God loves me. I feel that Jesus loves me. I feel it. When I don't feel it, I know it. This morning, some of you might know it, but you need to feel it. What do you mean? You need to own it. Get what I'm saying? You need to own it. I know I'm loved today. God wants to set you free from blockages. He wants to set you free from strongholds. Don't look at me that way. Every one of us have them. We have strongholds. Come on. They occur in our mind. They're not a good thing. There is no such thing as a nice, good stronghold. We need to be freed in our thinking. Amen? You know why we have strongholds? Because we don't know God loves us. I know this sounds so simplistic, but you got to trust me here, all right? You got to trust me. This message is going to liberate some of you. I don't care if you're 6 or 16 or 60 or 160. The Lord wants to liberate some of you this morning. I believe blockages are going to come off of you. I believe strongholds are going to come down. When you know that God loves you, it begins to change your thinking. A stronghold is anything locked or lodged in the mind contrary to the will of God. And the church is full of strongholds because I can see all the symptoms of those strongholds. The Lord this morning wants to free you from strongholds. Hindrances is another word. We've been hindered in our walk with God. Some people just seem to have a gate in their spiritual walk. They just seem to be able to walk with God. And they're moving ahead and they're just praising God and they're victorious and they're overcoming. They've got obstacles, but they seem to be able to overcome them. Others of us continually trip and fall, you know, chronically over the same, that's the kicker, over the same, what? Obstacles and hindrances and hurdles because we don't know the love of God. Many times when I prophesy over people, I will see chains and shackles on them, on various parts of their body. And I see Jesus take his hand and begin to snap those shackles off of the wrists and ankles. And I'll see him reach up to a yoke around the neck and break it and throw it down to the ground. And lately, when I see the Lord freeing people, I hear the chains falling down on the floor. How many know what a long, heavy length of chain sounds like when it drops on a hard surface? I've been hearing that lately because the love of God wants to free us from chains and shackles. Again, I just believe God's purpose for his kids is that we be free. And it's the love of God this morning that's going to free you. You've been trying to have more faith. You've been trying to do more good things. You've been trying to earn your release. You don't earn it, you receive it. Are you hearing me? The price has been paid. And Jesus does not want his kids in any form of bondage. So this morning, blockages are going to be opened. Strongholds are going to be broke. Hindrances and hurdles are going to be overcome. Chains will be snapped. Shackles and yokes will drop to the ground. If you've got obstacles in your life, stumbling blocks in your life, if you just can't get free, for example, some of you just have to have everybody love you. This kind of love isn't what's going to fill you. It's this kind of love that's going to fill you. I can have a great day even when I know you don't like me. Because I know this kind of love. Are you hearing me? For the women who are waiting for their Prince Charming, he ain't coming. Come on. Come on. For the guy who's waiting for his princess, she ain't coming. Are you hearing me? Our answer is receiving the love of God. Can you say amen? This morning, God wants to break you free from stumbling blocks, from yokes and snares. Oh, man. So many of us find ourselves ensnared by things. If you've ever watched these animal shows, these wildlife shows, these adventure shows, especially about animals, every now and then they'll talk about snares. And you'll see these shows where this poor little creature has been snared by this trapper's trap or snare. And it basically leads to death. Well, this morning, some of us have snares in our lives. And the love of God is going to free us from those things that have ensnared us. Amen. I just believe Jesus wants us free this morning. I believe that some of you are also dealing with something that God told me to add to this message. In fact, it happened a few weeks ago. I had been preaching on the love of God and had listed the things I just listed with you. But I had a revelation in the service in Saddlebrook, New Jersey. And the Lord said to me, there are unclean spirits here. And I went, okay. Now, of course, the first thought we have is, oh, great. But you know what? I believe that many of us struggle with a very broad category of beings called unclean spirits. Someone said, what does that mean? It's listed as unclean spirits. It means a whole category of beings that are unclean in nature. We don't know exactly what they are, other than that they are unclean. So all God has told us about them is they're unclean. Now, others may have more revelation on it. I don't. And I don't think we need any more revelation. The Lord said to me that morning, as you preach on the love of God, unclean spirits are going to come off of or out of, whatever your theology is, my kids. And I went, yes. And I began to preach on the love of God, and I want to announce to each of you in this place that God wants to free you from unclean spirits. Now, some may say, I don't have any. Good. I'm only telling you what the Lord told me to add to my list. So some of you are being plagued. Some of you are under an attack. Some of you can't get free. And here's why. There's two ways to victory as a Christian. Either A, you overcome it, or B, it must be cast out. Isn't that good? You cannot overcome something that must be cast out. And you're wasting your time trying to cast out something that you just should have overcome. So some of you have been working for years to be free and can't. You can't overcome it. Why? It must be cast out. And at the end of the message, I'm going to pray a prayer. And the Lord is going to do all these things for you, including releasing you from the effects, the contamination, the pollution of anything unclean in your life. And it's no big deal. Don't be ashamed of it. All of us are struggling in our lives. And the Lord wants to break this morning from you anything that's unclean. He wants you free. And I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to feel new. You're going to feel fresh. You're going to feel clean. When I got saved, I walked around feeling new. I felt new. How many felt new when they got converted? I felt new. I felt clean. And I felt fresh. I said, man, I don't want to lose that. And so I believe that this morning, because of the love of God, some of you are going to feel again new and fresh and clean. It's a great feeling. I believe Jesus is the great liberator. I believe the Bible teaches that there is a breaker anointing, a breaker anointing. And the breaker is here this morning. I'm not waiting for him to show up. He's here. It took two or three of us to get him here, and he's here. And I believe unclean spirits are going to come off of some of us today. If you can, hear me well, if you can embrace the love of God this morning, listen carefully, you will find yourselves in fewer prayer lines. I'm not against prayer lines, but your answer is not a prayer line. If you can't get a hold of the pastor, don't get mad at him. You don't need to call him. Come on. You need to call the counselor. I'm telling you, the love of God wants to set you free. You need fewer prayer lines when you get a hold of this message. There's nothing wrong with prayer lines. Thank God for them. But your answer isn't a prayer line. Your answer is the love of God. You'll need less counseling. All you got to do, as I said, is get with the counselor. You need less counseling when you know the love of God. Why is that, Denny? Because the love of God counsels you. Why do you need fewer prayer lines? Because the love of God becomes your answer. Are you hearing me? Christianity, especially charismatic version of Christianity, has become this bring it in, Lord, from the outside. I need something from the outside. I need an external fix. I need a prayer line. I need counseling, weeks of it, months of it. I need to get in prayer lines. I need something. I need deliverance. I need a prophecy. Oh, if I had a prophecy, that would fix all my problems. I need a vision. Someone has to give me a dream. Would someone hear from God for me? Those are all externals, and they're wonderful, and they're godly, and they're biblical. But they cannot be the foundation upon which you live your Christian life. You're looking at a guy that prophesies like a machine. I do it almost every day of my life, but I don't live off of prophecy. Are you hearing me? You need to know the love of God. If pastors would preach this, it'll only make their job easier. I want to pastor a people that know the love of God. Why? It'll make my job easier. We'll need fewer prayer lines, less counseling, fewer deliverances. I want you to hold me to this. The next time someone says, I believe I'm oppressed. I believe I have a demonic presence. I believe something demonic is in my life. Counsel them to go back and receive the love of God. And you know what will happen? They'll get self-delivered. I'm telling you what will happen. You'll get self-delivered. When you got converted, part of your conversion was deliverance from the control of the devil. You know why? You received the love of God into your life. That's what did it. That's what the conversions is all about. It's about the love of God. When I got saved, I didn't know what the Bible was. I knew God loved me, though. When I got saved, I didn't understand anything that I understand now. How did I get saved then? I received the love of God. You know what I did? I let Him love me. And I let Him be my answer. When you know the love of God, you will grow up. Someone say, I want to grow up. Why is the church so self-centered? Why is it so self-absorbed? Why? Because we cater to the loveless believer. We react to them. Oh, we've got to fix the problem. And we fixed it wrong. The answer is the love of God. I believe with all my heart that God is looking for low maintenance, high output believers. Someone say amen. I want to challenge you this morning, and I love you. I'm not yelling at you. I'm just anointed. I believe God wants us to be low maintenance, high output. Amen. Let's turn to Romans 5. Romans 5. Romans 5, verse 5 says, now hope does not disappoint because, underline this in your Bibles, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. There's some key words there. I want to read it again. Because the love of God has been, everyone say has been. Has been poured out. That's past tense. Has been poured out. Where? In our hearts. Not around them, not over them or under them. No, listen to me, church. The love of God has been poured out in your heart. It's in your heart. It's not an external thing. I want you to get a hold of this. If you're struggling with your Christianity, if you just don't feel like you're the believer God wants you to be, you probably haven't got a hold of His love for you. It's transforming. It's transforming. You may say, well, you don't know where I've come from. I don't know, and I don't care. And guess what? God doesn't care. Come on. He just wants to free you. So much of our Christianity is retro in perspective. We're all looking back. I wasn't breastfed long enough as an infant. That's why I can't hold down a job today. Come on. How many know what I'm talking about? Our Christianity is retrofitted. We're all the time looking to blame somebody. Something didn't go right. Listen, if you think you've got problems bigger than anybody else, listen, get in line. Come on, I don't know anybody that could not wallow in self-pity and unbelief. But those of us who see God for who He is say, okay, go ahead and be a big God. Come on, heal me, free me, deliver me. I'm telling you, after today's message, stuff is going to crop up in your life. Thoughts are going to pop into your brain. The Lord's going to say, you're not free here. This message is going to agitate some of your lives and make you uncomfortable for the purpose of greater freedom and greater release. The love of God wants to make you whole. The love of God wants to put you on the offensive. Verse 5 says, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by none other than the Holy Spirit. And it is a love unlike any other love. Three things that the love of God is. Number one, it's a deposit. Moving quickly. Number one, it's a deposit. It's an internal reality. What do you mean a deposit? It's an internal reality. I just read to you, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. I carry a deposit. I'm a wealthy man. Look at me. I've got this deposit in me, a wealth of the love of God. It makes me bold. It makes me authoritative. It makes me confident. It makes me know I'm going to overcome. It makes me know that if you don't like me, it's okay. God likes me. It helps me to weather under accusation and persecution and tests and trials. Are you hearing me? It helps you to know who you are. Your identity is in the love of God. It's a deposit made within you. Some of you have won the Canadian National Lottery and don't know it. In that, the love of God has been deposited in you. You are spiritually wealthy and don't know it. You don't need prayer lines. You don't need me to prophesy over you. You don't need to counsel your pastor. You don't need to get mad at him when him or her are not available. Are you hearing me? It's about the love of God. He loves you more than your pastor. He loves you more than your wife. He loves you more than your husband. Can someone say amen? It's the love that's ever abiding. It's consistent. In fact, I happen to believe it's the only form of unconditional love. I don't believe that humans can unconditionally love. I believe it's impossible. I do believe there is an unconditional love from the Father, the love of God. You are loved unconditionally. You just had the worst week of your life. I'm prophesying to somebody. You just had the worst week of your life, and you didn't think that you were even a Christian when you walked into the room this morning. But the Lord would say, truly you're converted, but you have rejected the love of God. The Lord says, repent and receive His love and forgiveness, and you will never be the same. You don't need to go back into that vomit that the Bible talks about. You don't need to go back to that earlier lifestyle. You have been converted, but you don't know the love of God. This morning is going to change that. I believe that. So number one, it's a deposit. Number two, it's a revelation. Because that verse says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by who? The Holy Spirit. Look, it doesn't happen up here. When you and I got converted, at least when I got converted, up here, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't understand a lot. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. But here, a deposit had been made and a revelation came to me. God loves me. I wasn't what I saw myself as. I saw myself as you have. I saw myself as a loser. I saw myself as unloving and unlovable. Come on. Oh, the human race is so messed up. We need to know the love of God. So number one, it's a deposit. Number two, it's a revelation. Number three, it's a foundation. What do you mean it's a foundation? It's the basis for your sonship with your heavenly Father. 1 John 3 says, oh, behold the love that God has for us, that we would be called sons. It's the basis for your relationship with God. Some of you think you're employees of God. I know that because you're trying to work everything up to make God impressed with how good a believer you are. You're not employees, you're sons. Come on. And you're not a bastard. Some of you act like a bastard Christian. You don't know who your father is. Why? Because the love of God has come in between you and your God. The love of God is to be a deposit, a revelation, and the very foundation upon which we stand. I just believe that. I believe this morning God wants to deposit, or I should say, make you aware of the deposit that he has for you, his love for you. I don't care about your ethnicity. I don't care about the color of your skin. I don't care about your socioeconomic status or position or lack thereof. I don't care how much you make or don't make. I don't care what you drive or don't drive. Those things don't matter. Everyone comes into the kingdom of God on equal ground. We are all immediately made heirs of God. We are all immediately stationed before God as joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And that all comes from understanding the love of God. Now, let's move along. As I was ministering, as I was getting ready to minister in this church in Middleboro, Mass., the one where the Lord told me to change my message, as I was getting ready to preach this message, I had it all ready. I told you the story. God put me down on my face and he said, you're not preaching this, you're preaching that. And I said, fine. But what I didn't tell you was, the reason that I knew it was God was, the Lord spoke to me something else. Before he told me that I was going to change my message, and before he told me what I was going to change it to, he spoke to me. And God speaks to me funny things, but I think edifying things. God said to me these words, you know, you're one of my favorites. Now you got to go with me because half you got mad because God told me I'm one of his favorites. But hang in there, it comes out pretty good. Now I want you to listen to me. Here's what he said. That's only part of what he said. He said, you know, you're one of my favorites. And I want you to hear me. I know I'm one of his favorites. Now, hang in there with me. I'm going somewhere with this. I know that. I feel like I'm one of his favorites. And then he said the second half of the statement to me that I want to share with you. This is the half you'll like. And then he said, and so are all my kids. Come on. God, in that sense, has no favorites. All his kids are favorites. Are you hearing me? I want you to get this. You're one of God's favorites. Come on. You know that Christian here in the church that you can't stand, the one you can't get along with? I want to break something to you. he's one of God's favorites too. You know that gal? She just rubs you down. She is one of God's favorites too. You need to get this. All of God's kids are his favorites. So you need to get this. You need to start living like you're one of God's favorites. You need to start saying, hey, he's right. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm tired of being pushed around. I want to bring my weight to bear on people and on situations. And I want to be a contributor to the kingdom of God. I'm tired of being the tail. I want to be the head. I want the enemy to come against me and flee seven ways. Yeah. Not come against me seven and flee one. I'm here to tell you, your answer is the love of God. You are one of God's favorites. When you begin to embrace the love of God by faith, it's going to change the way you act. It's going to change the way you talk. It's going to change the way you think. People are going to look at you and they're going to wonder, man, what has happened to you? Now watch my body language. What's happened to you? Well, I'm not bragging, but I got to tell you something. Heard a message Sunday. Yeah. Denny Kramer. Just got to let you know, I'm one of God's favorites. And so are you. Are you hearing me? I'm trying to act out how you have to see this. You are one of God's favorites. I ministered in a church in Central California full of Mexican immigrants, most of them illegals, non-English speaking. They had never seen a prophet. So the American missionary slash pastor, a spirit-filled Mennonite brother from Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, somewhere that way, came in and was pastoring these Mexican immigrant illegal workers in Central California and had a tremendous thriving work. You would love it. They just sucked the anointing out of me. They had never seen prophetic ministry. It was just awesome. But when I ministered to them, as is my custom, I would ask for permission and I would stand the candidate up. And when I would, here's how they would stand. And I would say, Lord's got a good word for you. It'd be interpreted, they would listen to the interpretation, and immediately they wouldn't look me in the eye because Mexicans don't look white people in the eye. They were raised in that culture. Are you hearing me? They were raised that they weren't even allowed to look. And I said, this is bothering me. So I made them look at me. And when I was prophesying and they wouldn't, I would stop and lift their chin up and say, look at me. They had never had a white person bring them up on the same level as they. Come on. You know why? These poor people didn't know the love of God. And that's what happens when you don't know the love of God. Here's what happens. You're afraid to look God in the eye. Come on. You're afraid to look people in the eye. If you understand what I'm saying, not so much literally, but you think there's something wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. But you've relegated yourself to a second-class citizen in the kingdom of God because you don't know the love of God. The love of God's going to make you carry yourself different. On the inside, when you know the love of God, you'll begin to carry yourself, if you will, on the inside with confidence. And guess what happens? Your authority increases. And you're able to change lives and influence people and be low maintenance and high output. I'm telling you, this is an incredibly simplistic message, but it's true. The love of God is your answer. Okay, I'm done. Now listen to this last example that I want to pray for you. I knew a Christian ministry in Pennsylvania named Olson Lodge. And Olson Lodge took in teenage boys who were from very, very troubled backgrounds and families. Some abused, some abandoned. So we knew the Christian folks that ran this ministry named Olson Lodge, and we were asked to minister there on a couple of occasions. So we're sitting down to have supper one night, and Dave or Debbie Hinton, one of the couples, turns to me, I think it was Dave, and Dave says, "See that young man right there, Phil?" And Phil was a good-looking kid, you know, typical, you know, all-American kind of, you know, kid. Good-looking and healthy and robust and pretty muscular. Looked like a pretty strong kind of kid. And he said, "Let me tell you a story about Phil. Phil came from a family where there was no love. And because of the lack of love in his family, Phil's physical growth was stunted. He literally did not grow physically because he was not loved emotionally." And I said, "Come on." He goes, "No. As soon as we took him out of that loveless environment and put him into a love-charged environment, the love of God, Phil began to instantly grow and develop physically. I declare to some of you that you are stunted spiritually because you don't know the love of God. Some of you are not going to fit in your spiritual clothes after today because you're going to go through a spiritual growth spurt. You're going to grow up, and the love of God will do that for you. And so I'm going to pray over you right now, and then I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Father, I want everyone to get in a receiving mode. I want everyone to get ready. I'm going to pray the love of God over you, under, and around you. But as I pray this prayer, I want you to simply acknowledge the love of God that's on the inside of you. That's what I want you to do. Denny's not praying some answer that's going to come out of the hills. You know, I'm not going to prophesy over you and straighten everything out in your life. No, you're going to, by faith, repent of your fear and unbelief, and you're going to acknowledge that the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by none other than the Holy Spirit. So, Father, forgive us this morning for our unbelief, our doubt, our fears. Forgive us for our unscriptural concepts or perceptions of God. We repent of that before you. Please forgive us that we have not believed your word. But now we choose to change the course of our lives. Right now, Father, we choose to acknowledge the love of God that has been shed abroad in us, in us, in us, in us, in me, Lord. That's what we're saying. We acknowledge the love of God in me. We each individually acknowledge that we are loved. We accept it, we receive it, and we ask that the Holy Spirit now be allowed to shed it even more abroad in our hearts. We want to feel like one of God's favorites. We want to walk around with a different attitude. We want to make a difference in our world. So we thank you this morning for what you already did 2,000 years ago. Thank you for the love of God that has been given to us. We receive it. We are loved. We are loved. I want everyone to pray this prayer with me. God is love. God has deposited his love in me. Therefore, I am loved. God loves me. He even likes me. I'm not bragging, but I'm one of his favorites. I am special. And Father, we don't have to hype this. We've done it by faith. We receive it this morning in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Give yourselves a hand.